Bjorn's going to pass out some scriptures that I've chosen that are apart from the text I'll be reading. But my text will be Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Then in my study Bible, there's a little thing about the background and the setting, and I'm going to read a paragraph from that so we have a little bit of idea what was going on in Colossae during the time of the early church. Although Colossae's population was mainly Gentile, there was a large Jewish settlement. Colossae's mixed population of Jews and Gentiles manifested itself both in the composition of the church and in the heresy that plagued it, which contained elements of both Jewish legalism and pagan mysticism. And I remember last week when Rod Eastman was here, he talked about knowing and doing God's word. And I think this passage speaks to that a bit as well. And when I was first getting ready to do this, I was going to talk about false teachings and what we need to be aware of, and it kind of led me into Colossians, and then my focus kind of changed to just what is written in Colossians 3. And as Rod Eastman was talking last Sunday, part of it was, how should we activate God's word? And then as he was speaking, I wrote down a little note. And I says, our selfish desires our focus should turn from selfish desire to serving the Lord. And also that our standards should change. So I'm going to read Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and to put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You may be seated. And I'll be referencing that text throughout. Kind of going to go through it a little bit with some of the notes I've written down and also some of the things that I have found. I found a place where Gail and I use the Daily Bread almost every day, and I found a website that has a lot of the Daily Bread illustrations kind of in one spot. And I went through some of those, and I found a couple that were appropriate for what we're studying this morning. And as I go throughout this, I'll be referencing those two illustrations as well. And I had an appointment with Dr. Anderson this week, and oftentimes when I have appointments with him, he's been my doctor for probably 20 years or more. We usually end up talking about things other than what were, you know, the health stuff. And we try to encourage one another, and we talk about some spiritual things once in a while. And he asked how I was doing. And I said, better than I deserve. And I say that hoping to spur a conversation sometimes, and it finally happened. And he said, yeah, that, he says, that's probably true, but he also said there's another way to look at our existence here and our value. And there's so many, and a lot of these things that are in Scripture that are familiar to us as Christians, and we're going to get into this later on, are foreign to those who are not believers or know nothing about Scripture. And even though we are in our sinful state, we often consider ourselves nothing or less than nothing, we are also at the same time very valuable in God's eyes. God created us in his, and Pastor Anderson said this, you know, God created us in his image, so we are beyond earthly value, but yet we are sinners. And it's one of those things that's kind of hard to put your head around. I have lots of those problems. But anyway, starting with verse 3, if you were raised with Christ, if then you were raised with Christ, and I look at that and I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm hoping all of us here are believers. So not if we were raised with Christ, since you were raised with Christ, we are co-resurrected. And we should seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. And I wrote, as a compass points north, a believer's mind should point towards the things of heaven. And how do we achieve that? By reading and understanding Scripture, meditating on it, spending time in prayer. But we should set our mind on things above and not on things on the earth. And don't let your earthly desires take priority. And that's not to say that God doesn't want us to enjoy the things that we have been blessed with, the things that we enjoy doing, but we just have to keep everything in its place. And as I've mentioned before, I enjoy golfing whenever I get the opportunity. And I ordered a sweatshirt. I'm waiting for it to come. It says, Jesus is my Savior, golf is my therapy. And then, so don't let the things of this earth take priority over the things of heaven. We want to have our compass pointed above. And this first illustration I'm going to read, it's from the Daily Bread. I'm not sure when it was written, but it says, in his classic spiritual allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan paints a word picture of a man who looked no way but downward. This poor creature was on his knees in the dirt and filth, working constantly with a rake, trying to unearth some choice morsel that would enrich his life. Yet all the while, a bright crown of immeasurable worth was within reach just above him. Bunyan summarizes the tragedy. There stood one over his head with a celestial crown in his hand and proffered him that crown for his muckrake. But the man never looked up as he continued gathering to himself the straw, the small sticks, and the dust of the floor. Bunyan's words remind me that the rewards of heaven will have no appeal unless we set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Although we have trusted Christ as Savior, we have to live here in this world. Do you ever wonder why when we become Christians, he just doesn't take us up? Ever thought about that? Wouldn't that be kind of, you know, we wouldn't have to deal with a lot of stuff if that would happen. But we're here. We're here to live in this world, but we're not supposed to cling to the material things of this world, and we need to serve him. We must become so occupied with pleasing him and working for the crowns of eternal reward that we have no desire to dig in the dirt of this fleeting world. And I found that illustration to be very meaningful in the context of the life that we are called to live. And then verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? I looked up some things for that verse, and three things came to mind. One of them was we have a common spiritual life with God. I've got to find my scriptures. They're here. There we go. Anyway, we have a common spiritual life with God, and as I, in the handout, we have 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. There are so many encouraging things in Scripture that tell us who we are in the Lord, and how we are and how we are joined to him and in one spirit. And another thing, the world cannot understand the believer's new life. I already spoke about that a little bit. I don't think that a person who doesn't believe or has never had a spiritual life of any sort, I don't think they can comprehend our new life and the things that we believe. And 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we have something that others just don't understand, and how we live our lives, I would say, could help give a glimpse into that to those around us who we are called to share the message with and serve. Believers are secure, protected, and have access to God's blessings. That's also a good thing to know and to cling to. John 10:28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those whom come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So it shows how much God cares for us. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Awfully good things to know. And the promises that that are available for us to claim. When Christ, starting with verse 4 again, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore put to death. What does it mean to put to death? Put to death your members which are on the earth. And it's a conscious effort to slay the sin in our life. Put those things to death. Romans 8:13-14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Scriptures talk about putting on the armor of God. Here calls it the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we need to make an effort to slay the sin in our life, to recognize what is contrary to what God's word says, and to live our lives in obedience. And it says there, I'm reading verse 5 again, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know that last phrase there, covetousness is a form of idolatry. I never really thought of it that way before, but You know, when we're coveting something somebody else has, or striving to achieve something that we covet on this earth, if we put the efforts to attain those things ahead of service to Christ, that is a form of idolatry. In verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And I reference Titus 3:3-5. Oh, I think I read the wrong scripture the last time. when you go back to the conscious effort to slay sin, I didn't think that was right. I'm going to go back to that one. Romans 8:13-14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then to Titus 3:3-5. I'm sorry, I got things out of order there. Because I'm going to read verse 6 again. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Titus 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And I know one of the last times I was here, I talked quite a bit about the renewing ourselves through study and through meditation and prayer. And here it talks about the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And I liken it to removing the dirty clothes and putting on new clothes, refreshing ourselves and renewing ourselves in Christ. Now Romans 13:12-14. I'll read it again. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Then I'm going to read verse 11. And I'll be closing here with this and then the other illustration I have. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And as I looked up what the word barbarian might have meant at that time, in the time of the early church, a non-Greek, so a person who didn't follow the Greek customs, didn't speak the Greek language, but he has come to each of us, whether we speak the same language, whether we live in the same culture. Christ has come for all. And a Scythian was the lowest form of barbarian. In Christ, race, class, and culture are transcended. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, just reinforces that. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So I'm guessing in the church of Colossae there was, as I read in the introduction to Colossians, there was a mixture of the Jewish legalism and the pagan beliefs, but we are all one in Christ, and we need to, even though we may come from different cultures or different ways of life, we need to come together as followers of His Word and as people who live for Him. Then I want to read this last illustration. While walking down a street in Long Beach, California, I was reminded how a person's behavior can misrepresent the message of the gospel and cause an unbelieving world to be confused. I met a man who asked what I had to show for myself in life. When I referred to my confidence in the Son of God, he became very excited. He said he also knew Christ as his Savior and quoted some Bible verses about eternal life. As we parted, the man reminded me to preach the word. I had a problem accepting his admonition, though, for he was roaring drunk. With slurred speech, several times he bounced "Praise the Lord" off the concrete around us, drawing stares from passerby. His inebriated condition shouted a loud protest to the sober truths that echoed through the streets. As I walked away, I was struck with the stark reality of how Christian credibility is lost when our behavior reveals that we are controlled by sinful desires rather than the Holy Spirit. We can't expect others to believe a message that is contradicted by our actions. Every day we must put to death those actions that would tarnish our testimony. Only then can we be sure of offering dying proof of living faith. So how we live our lives reflects what is truly in our hearts. And if we don't get if we don't conquer some of the sins in our lives, it will damage our testimony. May all I am and do and say give glory to my Lord alway. And may no act of mine cause shame nor bring reproach upon his name. A bad example undermines good works. So I guess a lot of times when I get up here, I talk, a lot of times my focus is on how to live the Christian life, and a lot of times I just end up at the same at the same spot. But it is very important how we live and how we present ourselves to others, how we present ourselves to God, and may our lives reflect Him in every way. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray that as I've read Scripture and made some comments, I just pray that the words of the Scripture are ringing true in our ears and are convicting us of things that we need to address. And Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity, and just thank you for this day. In your name, amen.